hello again, and welcome to another Countdown to Eternity, where we look at the news of the week that relates to end times Bible prophecy. And our speakers, as usual, are Pastors James Cadiz and Don Stewart. As they get the ball rolling today, they'll tell us about an amazing archaeological discovery. Check this out.
Well, hello, my dear brothers and sisters. I am incredibly blessed yet again because we get to do another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And boy, let me tell you, not only are the devil in the details, but there is so many other things going on in the headlines, and we got a lot to talk about. I, of course, am with the great Don Stewart, and I'm super thrilled that we've got all these stories to talk about because, oh my goodness, times have changed. And the problem that we have nowadays is what stories are we going to pick from? So, Don, welcome to the show. What have you, my brother?
Okay, thank you, James, and hi, everybody. Okay, yesterday, we're doing this program. We always let them know when we record it on Monday. Yesterday was Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, and the ninth of Av in the Hebrew calendar is the day where the Jews mourn the destruction of not only the first temple, but the second temple, because according to their calendar, each temple, the first one 586, 587 BC, and the second one at AD 70 was destroyed on the 9th of Av. So what's the time of mourning? Now, a couple of things went on, James, that were really interesting this last week since we did the last program. The first is there was an amazing archaeological discovery. The remains of the wall at the time of the first temple, part of the wall was discovered in the city of Jerusalem, at least 2,700 years of age, verifying again, there was a city wall that the Babylonians broke through. There was a temple. The Jews had been there from that period of time. And in fact, it said the archaeologists uncovering the remains were very emotional finding this wall. Can you imagine digging down and finding a wall from Solomonic times? Probably mind-boggling, isn't it? Well, anyway, you'll like this first thing. In response to the archaeological discoveries proving Jewish presence in the city, Hamas accuses Israel of falsifying Jerusalem's history.
Give me a break. That is just insane. This kind of stuff continues to be satanically inspired garbage. How ridiculous is that? I mean, oh my goodness. And the funny thing is the more real it is, the more of an effort they make to lie through their grifting friends, the media, in telling something that isn't completely true. It's ridiculous. It's completely absurd. But, you know, I don't know, Don, this is just more evidence that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, and the statement by Hamas came as a response to the archaeological discovery, you know, from the section of the old city walls built during the first temple period. Because let's recall, James, Hamas calls for the destruction of the state of Israel. They're the armed wing of the Palestinian Authority. They do not believe Israel has the right to exist. What's interesting, too, we've talked about this before, I believe, on this program. In 1999, on the Temple Mount, they dug and built an illegal mosque on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Something like 400 or 500 tons of dirt were taken, illegally dug, dropped in the Kidron Valley. But what's interesting, since that time, some wise archaeologists from Israel put the crime scene tape around it, have been looking through it, have found discoveries verifying the first and second temple did exist. Babylonian arrowheads were discovered from the destruction of the first temple, Roman catapults from the destruction of the second temple. So all, you know, the evidence is so much there. I mean, it's laughable. Anybody would deny this. But what was really interesting, this to piggyback on this, James, yesterday, a number of Jews went up to the Temple Mount and they were allowed to worship freely on the Mount. Now, that's not something they're supposed to do. They did this. The police didn't bother them. Naftali Bennett, the new prime minister, said, gave kind of a, you know, okay yesterday. But then here's the problem, James. He has a government that's put together with a number of people in it that are unfortunately that are Muslims, and they went ballistic on that. How dare you do that? How dare you allow this? So Bennett backpedaled today and said, we haven't changed the status quo on the Temple Mount. In other words, he's held hostage by these people in his new government that can say no, 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 when they want to, and particularly freedom of worship on the Temple Mount. So I thought that was all very interesting.
And once again, the minority is going to be allowed to control the majority, just like it is here in the United States of America. That's what's going on in Israel. And I got to tell you that this is more evidence of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, because as you begin to see these splinters beginning to develop within the wood pieces of the Israeli government, you know for a fact that the destabilization is going to contribute greatly towards the mechanisms needed to be deployed in order to provide the scenario that we read about in Revelation chapter 13. This is going to be the case. We're going to have a final Antichrist that's going to be revealed. He's going to be the guy that's going to be the peacemaker and solve all the splinters and fix everything. European Union is going to be very closely tied to his hip. He's going to come from Europe. We know that. And what's even more interesting is he is going to deploy the state church, basically. He's going to deploy a false prophet that is going to bring people in who have some kind of religious acclimation left within them to be able to swallow hook, line, and sinker all of the lies that he continues to tell. And in essence, it's going to put into motion the one world government that we know is going to exist. And, you know, the mechanism being driven right now is through these guys that want a new world order. They want globalism. This is what they want. So we know it's going in that direction. And none of us should be surprised that we're watching what we're watching.
Yeah. Funny you mentioned all that. The Ra'am Party, which is part of Israel's current government, has claimed the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its 144,000 square meters is the sole property of the Muslims, and no one else has the right to it. But here's, and you said this, James, took the words out of my mouth. Israel's new government is now cozying up to the globalist EU and the progressive agenda, thinking they're going to gather support from that. But again, the globalists will never abandon the Palestinian resistance. But they're going just like in the Old Testament. Remember the nation always going after the arm of flesh, going the wrong way? And this new government's really, really going the wrong way. And so we know how all this is going to end. It is very sad they're doing this, but we know they're blind now, blind spiritually to the truth of the gospel. So this is not surprising, but it is continuing to set the stage. Temple Mount in the headlines, that eventually a third temple will be built. We've talked about by this final Antichrist, there'll be a global government, and all these things are falling into place just as the Bible said.
Yeah, and for those of you listening to us that don't know what Don is referring to, understand what's going to happen here, and he's picking up on this perfectly, right? Understand that the Ra'am Party is not going to be sitting tight as a lot of the people that are friends with Bennett. And by the way, let me just simply say this. The Bennett government was not formed on the basis of his credibility, was not formed on the basis of his views concerning things. It was formed on the basis of their hatred for Benjamin Netanyahu. That's the reality of it, right? So any government that forms or any organization that forms on the basis of hatred towards another person is never going to last long. That's the reality of it, right? Because the hatred that fuels their action will continue to fuel the division that begins to develop from within their ranks. And so the Ra'am Party are not going to stand up for this issue with the Temple Mount. They're certainly not going to stand up for the LGBTQ stuff that's going on that Bennett's party is beginning to tolerate and the people that are sympathetic with his causes. And they are certainly not going to stand with the women's rights that they're continuing to seek or try to contend for. It's not going to happen. And they have more than enough people from within that sort of section to split up this government. They can. And I think this time when the government splits up, there's some people that say there's room for Netanyahu to step back in and so on and so forth. I think it's going to be so badly splintered that we might find ourselves in yet another election, but I don't know what is going to come of that. But the reality of it is every single time we see this kind of splintering taking place is a yet another step that Israel takes towards the globalists, towards Europe. And that's what we're beginning to see happening right now.
Exactly. And so what a week. Huh? So you've got the destruction of the first and second temple mourned on the same day. Jews allowed to worship freely on the Temple Mount for one day. Bennett seemed to give the okay, but the Ra'am Party said, oh, no, you can't do that, you know, and all kinds of threats. So he has to backpedal. And at the same time, a wall from the first temple period is discovered. They're showing the Jews have the right. They've always been there. It's their property. God gave it to them, but this is how it is. So we'll keep an eye on that particular story. And let's remember, too, God's time clock is Israel. Israel, the nation, is the hour hand. The city of Jerusalem is the minute hand. But the Temple Mount is the second hand, because events will take place there in the future that will dictate the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. That's why we do these stories. Now, James, I have another story here that literally it's under the guise of we can't make this stuff up. Like the one on the Temple Mount, you know, they had this discovery the same week when, you know, the Palestinians denying that the temple ever existed, the Jews were ever there. This comes from the Financial Times of London, and they had an op-ed, and they're carrying an argument, and here's basically what they're saying. They said there's the need now for the central planning of the economy. the central planning of the world's economy. So much for free markets. Does that sound familiar? Something we're expecting to see from Holy Scripture?
Absolutely. And you know, it's really funny. We talked about this. I don't know how much of a conversation we have. Did we spend a lot of time talking about G20 and the G7 last time?
We didn't.
I don't know if we did. Okay. So let me just bring this up because I think there's some real insight that is left to be gained here. And I know that this might seem a little bit of a long-winded discourse for me, but I think it's something that's worthwhile us exploring for just a minute. Because we've been hearing the same thing in the G7 as we've been hearing in the G20, and it all centers around one very specific story that me and you have discussed extensively. And that is the story of this globalist tax that's going to be placed on all corporations in every country. And it's very interesting because we've talked about this, and that is the fact that in a capitalist society, if you have a business that you allow to run in the wild, meaning it's completely controlled by the free market, and it runs by the ideals of competition and so on and so forth, you will almost never, when a company is running in the wild, you will almost never get a monopoly. It just won't happen. They will not monopolize together. We know that. It's a basic principle. The only time we begin to see monopolies forming, and we can see great evidence of this in the United States with the Industrial Revolution and many of the things that we've seen with big tech, the only time monopolies form is when government gets involved. And if we want to talk about the big tech monopoly that's going on right now, that is because government got involved and said, we are going to enable big tech to do what they do, and we are going to tie people's hands back from being able to file a lawsuit. Well, now that you've done that, they have developed this extraordinary monopoly where they can remove the president of the United States from being able to have a conversation. And so it's very interesting because these hypocrites now at the G7 and the G20, they are all saying that now they want to impose this globalist tax, which basically is going to mean 15% from every single corporation of every single country all around the world. Now, if you want to ask me, I think it's total hypocrisy because what we're looking at right here is we are seeing what is distinctly a monopoly being formed by governments. Now, here's the reason why I say this, and this is the thing that, and I am going somewhere with this, okay? So follow me with this. You're going to be mind blown when you hear the rest of this. Now that they're doing this, this is what's going to happen. I'll lay out the scenario. They are all working in collusion with one another. All of them are colluding, and they're saying, we need to do this tax on all corporations to level the playing field. So in other words, they're saying, we don't want corporations anymore to leave their country to go to another one to find themselves a tax shelter. So all of them, no matter where you go, are going to pay 15% of their profits. Well, the problem that you're going to run into with 15% of your profits is 15% of an American dollar is going to be a lot higher than 15% of a dollar maybe somewhere in South America. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to say, well, this tax is not going to work if we all have our own currencies, fiat or not fiat. And what we're going to end up doing is we're going to end up developing our own currency. We are going to cancel everybody else's currency. We'll have a one world currency. That way we level the playing field. And when someone pays 15% in this part of the world, they're paying 15% in the other part of the world. That sounds really familiar to me. And if you're not thinking that through, folks, ladies and gentlemen, this is all about the world as we see it right now, setting themselves up for the final Antichrist.
Yeah, very good, James. Central currency, central planning. Again, that's the world that we see. Revelation 13 can't buy or sell without the mark of this final Antichrist on your right hand or forehead. His cohort, the false prophet, is going to put that into motion. And one of the things I think we've talked about before, but we need to also mention again, when he comes on the scene, all this has to be in place, doesn't it, James? He doesn't invent it. He has to take over this. So we have to see it rise into the place where the world's in that state, looking hopelessly for a leader that can run all this that they put together, the global economy, you know, no borders, this and that. So he's going to be the person comes on the scene that has the answers, and people are going to fall down with him. So he's going to co-opt what's already going to be in place.
100%. And by the way, it's interesting because if you were to talk to most people about this, even a few years ago, even the average person would say, no way. I'm an American, I'll never let this happen. Or I'm an Australian, I'll never let this happen. Or I'm from this part of the world, I'll never let this happen. There's no way. I'm all about where I am. I'm all about what I'm doing and what my family is doing. And there's no way you're going to take my freedoms. There's no way you're going to lock me down in my house. There's no way you're going to tell me to do this or to do that. You're never going to force me to go into some kind of a health procedure. None of that's going to happen. There's no way. And then we have the nonsense that happened a year and a half ago that sets all of this into motion. And again, they are using an emergency to control the minds and the hearts of the people in the name of security. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And that's a direction that we're going in because of it.
Yeah. And we've seen it already happen. There used to be the Deutschmark, the French franc, all these different, the kroner, you've got the lira. I remember going through Europe so many times, I had to exchange money about 14 different times every time I go across a border. Now you have the euro. So that's already been happening, of course, in Western Europe. So the stage is set for something like that. And as you said, James, what's going to be really interesting, maybe we can talk about this in another program, how China will react to that along with the United States. Because in one, I don't know, I'm not the economist. I'm not an economist. They seem to have the biggest to lose in something like this. Wouldn't you agree, the U.S. and China?
100%. And by the way, it plays right into it. That's why I don't believe China is mentioned in the Bible for the end times, and neither is the United States of America. They have to become inconsequential in order for the globalist plan to take place. And by the way, that makes sense. That's why there's this massive self-deprecating kind of a mindset with our current government here in the United States. They're being pawned very, very easily by the enemy. And the Lord is allowing it to happen because we know what's going on. And with respect to China, folks, listen to me, if you can hear this, they are already scapegoating China. They're beginning to blame China for the source of what has happened with the virus. They're already doing all of those things. The idea that they're the ones responsible for it is something that's beginning to be pushed. It's true, the Chinese Communist Party is the one that's responsible for it. But the reality of it is it's beginning to be embraced more and more. Why? Because the Chinese Communist Party, they are a totalitarian regime. They will never, ever share power with anybody. And so the globalists want nothing to do with a regime like that, and they'll do everything they can to remove that regime.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting, the regimes like that, like we see in Russia, like we see in Iran, like we see in China, like we see in Turkey, they're going to be the ones that are going to be made to naught, right, James, at the beginning of this final 7-year period, to what's left the power in Western Europe, right?
100%. And we talked about this, the whole Ezekiel 38, 39 scenario. That's how most of them are going to be brought to naught. And we know that this is going to take place right after the rapture. Matter of fact, I can personally vouch to this. I believe it's going to take place after the rapture, because when you look at the very end of Ezekiel chapter 38 and actually 39, if my memory serves me correctly, we know that there is a biblical reference to the fact that God is using this war to deal with Israel directly.
Yes.
And the time that God is going to be dealing with Israel isn't right now. It's going to be after the rapture. That's when the dispensation for God dealing with Israel actually begins.
Okay. And speaking, James, of things you can't make this stuff up, we have another story just this week. The United Arab Emirates actually established their embassy in the city of Jerusalem. Now, how mind-boggling is that?
I got to tell you, I could not believe it. I saw that. I made a comment on it in one of my videos, and I just don't think anybody understands I don't even think I understand the depth of something so significant. And again, we talked about this. Look, Ezekiel 38 said there will be nations that will object to the attack that takes place, and the UAE is going to be that. It's going to be part of it. So the normalization agreements aren't a surprise. The stand that they take, I do think it's particularly exceptional, and I was taken off guard by the fact that they set up their embassy in Jerusalem. I mean, that part is just unbelievably incredible. First Arab nation, I think, ever in the history of the existence of Israel to actually establish their own embassy in Jerusalem. I think that's incredible. And just something that I just look up. God's coming for us.
Yeah, the article says the historic step forward in the Abraham Accords as the UAE inaugurates embassy in Israel. The new UAE ambassador says opening marks a new paradigm for peace and a model for a new collaborative approach for conflict resolution. Well, here we go, because we know, like you said, according to Ezekiel 38, there'll be certain nations that protest the invasion, which assumes they have some type of normalization with Israel, or they would keep their mouths shut, right? And they don't. But they don't attack, so we know they're not part of the last days coalition. And what's fascinating, we've mentioned this before, and it's always worth mentioning again, because we always have new viewers, new listeners. If we were doing this program a few decades ago, the situation would be just reversed. The greatest enemies of Israel would be the Gulf states, be Egypt, Jordan, and Iraq. The friends of Israel would be Turkey and Iran. And that's what it was. And yet the Bible says it's going to be the other way around. And here we are in 2021. It's the other way around. Just hang in there. Sooner or later, God's word will become true and prove itself to be true. And this story here, again, it's hard to appreciate how mind-boggling it is that here's an Arab nation, because they're all of one accord, wanting the destruction of Israel, the non-existence of Israel. They're not doing this, James, because they love Israel. They're doing this because they're tremendously afraid of Iran, because after Israel is taken out, which Iran expects to do, they'll go after these people next.
Yep. And I think that's the bigger issue. The bigger issue is absolutely Iran. It centers all around Iran. We've been saying that for a long time. And the reason why many of these Arab nations are doing what they're doing is because of the issue with Iran. That's why President Trump was able to create a massive geopolitical shift through all of this, because of his stand with regard to Iran. He was strong enough to say Iran should not be allowed to do what they're doing. We're going to sanction them. We're going to walk away from the JCPOA. And in doing so, in creating some of the powerful sanctions that he did, these Arab nations fell in love with our president, our former president, because they knew that the United States of America was going to back their play in the problem with Iran. And there are significant problems with Iran, especially as it relates to their nuclear program. So these are the kind of things that we're facing right now. And again, it's more evidence of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. That's the reality of it.
Yeah. And another story this week, again, you can't make this stuff up. Some coins were found, 2,000-year-old coins in the heartland of Israel. Freedom to Zion is what's minted on the coins. They're minted around AD 67, 3 years before the destruction of the temple. Now, we know this is the year after the Jewish revolt in AD 66, where the Jews said, okay, we're going to overthrow the Romans. We're going to get our own freedom here. And of course, what happened? 3 years later, the Romans destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, as Jesus predicted. While they wanted freedom from the Romans, James, unfortunately, the Prince of Peace come, the one who says, you know, if you believe, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. They rejected him. He pronounced judgment on the city and the temple. And isn't it ironic when it's Tisha B'Av, the week was yesterday, that destruction of the first and second temple, they find these coins, freedom for Zion. 3 years later, temple is destroyed because the freedom they had offered them, they rejected.
Yep, 100%. How in the world could anybody be alive today, read the Bible, and say anything other than we are in the last days? And by the way, we're in the last minutes of this broadcast. We just finished up. Time has gone by so quick. So Don, I'm going to give you the last minute and a half. Closing comments, bro. What say you?
Okay. Again, like every week here, when we do Countdown to Eternity, we have new stories that further confirm the Bible is the Word of God. It's happened at a rate that it's literally mind-boggling to us. We come in here each week with our jaws dropping, wondering how any of this could happen, but we know how it could happen. So we're amazed, but in a sense, we're never surprised, because God has predicted what the scenario of the world would be in the last days. So here's the bottom line. God has spoken to us. He has predicted the future. He's told us what the world's going to be like. It's set up precisely as Scripture says. So are you listening to it? Are you paying attention? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? This is what this program is all about. He says he came to the world to be the way, the truth, and the life. He died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead the third day. He took the penalty all of us deserve so we can have that relationship with him. And he predicted things when he's coming back about the future that are falling into place right now. So the evidence is there. It's beyond there. So today is the day of salvation. Christian, for you, please know what's going on. Understand the time of the end. Daniel 12, 9 and 10 says we can understand. That is your responsibility to understand the times and then to know what to do.
Amen, amen, and amen to that. Listen, folks, we are absolutely out of time, and we certainly hope that you enjoyed listening to this or watching it as much as we've enjoyed making it. On behalf of the great Don Stewart, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. God bless you. We love you. Keep looking up, because Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, we're in the last days, and Jesus is coming soon. So look up. This is Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you'd like to share what you heard with a friend, just point them to countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown the number 2, eternity.com. And it's available wherever you get your podcasts. Have you seen the video version of Countdown to Eternity? We're on YouTube. Subscribe to the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel to watch us today. Now, Don Stewart has written quite a number of books. And get this, you can access them for free at educatingourworld.com. Download some of his audiobooks too, so you can listen and learn on your way to work or on vacation. Again, at educatingourworld.com. There's so much going on right now that we couldn't possibly cover it all in a half-hour weekly show. So we'd like to recommend that you follow James Cadiz, Educating Our World and Countdown to Eternity, on Instagram and Facebook. And again, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill. Have a question for Don and James? They'd love to hear from you. Email us through the website at countdowntoeternity.com. And we are listener-supported. Your gifts help us do what we do, and we're grateful for it. To make a donation, visit countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown the number 2, eternity.com. That'll do it for now. Join us again next time for Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill.